the Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 2nd, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. President Joe Biden was in southern Minnesota Wednesday to highlight federal investments for rural America.
Biden visited a farm near Northville to discuss funding from recent packages such as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act. For agriculture, the administration says there's new funding for farmers to take advantage of climate-friendly practices such as nutrient management, with other provisions designed to create market fairness. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke at the event and says these efforts allow rural residents to try and keep their communities vibrant.
They want their families to have the opportunity to farm and to work and to raise their families in the small communities where they come from.
And while the infrastructure law receives support from lawmakers on both sides, Republicans strongly oppose the Inflation Reduction Act. They've been trying to cut some elements of the law amid budget battles in Congress. I'm Mike Moen.
Now from the Associated Press, Donald Trump Jr. testified Wednesday he never worked on his father's financial statements. Those are the documents at the heart of the civil fraud trial that threatened the Trump real estate empire. The ex-president's eldest son is an executive vice president of the family's Trump organization and has been a trustee of a trust set up to hold its assets when his father was in the White House. The AP notes at least one of the annual financial statements bore language saying the trustees are responsible for the document. Donald Trump Jr. said he didn't recall ever working on any of them. Next, we head to Utah, where a new analysis finds oil and gas companies waste an estimated $48 million worth of natural gas per year.
According to the analysis, that's enough to meet the annual needs of more than a fifth of residential customers in Utah. 87% of that gas is lost due to leakage from producers, an issue Ashley Miller with Breathe Utah says needs to be addressed to ensure better air quality and protect the overall health of Utahns and the environment.
Getting a handle on leaks from oil and gas, I really do feel like that is pretty close to low-hanging fruit that's left to do. There's technologies available that, you know, this isn't new stuff. For the most part, we're not talking about huge capital infrastructure projects.
Miller recognizes it likely won't be an easy fix, especially for smaller operations, but it's one she deems necessary. The analysis found in 2019, the state of Utah lost about $6.7 million in tax and royalty revenue, including over $1.2 million in lost revenue for the tribal governments in the state. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
The analysis calls for what they call strong common sense rules to cut methane waste and pollution. This is Public News Service. A new study shows Texas is home to half of the U.S. colleges located in communities that are deemed to be affordable for students.
The personal finance company Wallet Hub ranks Edinburgh, home to the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, as the most wallet-friendly college town. Located in the southern part of the state, Edinburgh has a population of roughly 104,000. Mayor Ramiro Garza believes the community ranks high because it's worked hard to be cost competitive, especially when it comes to affordable rent.
The university also is just a great institution here in our community, and we've been growing very rapidly, and partly is due to the growth of the university as well.
In addition to Edinburgh, four other Texas towns are among the top 10 ranked as the most wallet-friendly. I'm Roz Brown.
To determine the most affordable college towns, Wallet Hub evaluated 415 cities of various sizes that had a college-university population of at least 7,500 students. Fair housing advocates are concerned about changes the legislature made to tighten restrictions on emotional support animals for Montana renters.
While Montana House Bill 703 prohibits a landlord from asking detailed questions about a potential renter's medical conditions or diagnosis, landlords are now allowed to ask the renter's health care provider if the emotional support animal is medically necessary before deciding whether to rent to that tenant. Amy Hall with Montana Fair Housing says the law creates potential roadblocks for would-be tenants because it requires them to have a relationship with a Montana healthcare provider for at least a month before being able to provide verification to the landlord.
Sometimes that can pose a hardship for tenants because they may not have lived in Montana for 30 days and they may not have established a relationship with a provider here.
I'm Mark Moran.
That new law went into effect on October 1. Finally, our Terry D. lets us know November is National Adoption Month, a time to boost awareness of the need for adoption and the number of children in foster care seeking permanent homes.
Throughout the month, Indiana courts will hold hearings on pre-scheduled days to legalize adoptions for families who have successfully completed the requirements. Department of Child Services Adoption Program Manager Michelle Savio says the courts have celebrations and bring in providers who can offer resources to these families.
The purpose is to let them know that we celebrate their adoption, we celebrate their family, but also that they will have ongoing support throughout their lives and throughout the adoption.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.